the good song, and I love to hear her sing, and thankful that she is willing to use her God-given talent to honor the Lord. Again, I want to ask for your prayers today. I would like to read a scripture reading today from the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning with verse 14. John chapter 3, beginning with the 14th verse, if you care to read along with me. These are the words of Jesus. And it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And I'm going to stop reading there, having read from verse 14 through verse 21 for a scripture reading. And I want to speak about something that the Lord mentioned in this. He said that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And you know, I believe that if we look at what he went on to say, God did not have to send his Son into the world to condemn us. We could do that very well by ourselves. We could condemn ourselves simply by unbelief. But the Lord sent, God sent his Son into the world so that through him that people might be able to be saved. And I want us to think about that today, and I have, maybe somewhat of a strange title, but I want us to ponder the question today of why that it's necessary. Why do we have to be saved? Why did God go through so much? Why did he put his Son through the things that he did, the suffering that he went through, in order for us to be saved? Why is it necessary? You know, if we look back in the earlier part of this chapter, and I'm not going to speak today about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. I will just say that it would be good. I'm sure that most of you have probably studied that before, and you can go back to the 21st chapter of Numbers. If you haven't studied it, you can there, or you can refresh yourself with what is spoken about concerning Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. But I want to go back to just a few things concerning prior to the Lord making these statements that I have read to his conversation with Nicodemus. Now, he told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." You know, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious Jew, and he was part of a religion that believed in justification by works, that believed that they could justify themselves before God by the keeping of the law. And that's not possible. Nobody can do that. The Bible tells us that that just cannot be done. And so Jesus told him that he had to have more than that, that he had to be born again, that it was imperative if he wanted to go to heaven, that it was not just one way to be saved, but it was of absolute necessity that he be born again. And so I want us to think about that. And you know, there are many, and I'm not sure if there's anybody here this morning or not, but I do know this, that there are many people in the world that don't understand that, that don't understand the new birth. Nicodemus didn't understand it. And you know, I'm sure that there are things here that took place that we don't have record of. And I have no doubt, and I mean, I want you to understand this, that this is supposition, but when you just think about this, I have no doubt that Nicodemus must have questioned in his mind, well, why is he telling me this? I'm a good man. I'm a religious man. I try to do all that I can in keeping the law. So why is he telling me here that there's something that I'm lacking? There's something that I don't have. And there are many people in the world today that are just like that. If you question at all their religion, if you question at all what they are basing their justification up on, they don't understand where you're coming from. And I shared this one time with the church, and I was speaking many years ago to a young man, and I certainly wasn't trying to be, I was being honest with him. I certainly wasn't trying to be sarcastic with this young man or anything like that. But I remember he began to tell me all of the things that he was doing, everything that he was involved with, involved in with the place where he went to church. He told me about that he held this position with the youth group, and he said, I do this and I do that, and gave me this big resume of all that he did. And when he was finished talking, I said, well, I would like to ask you something. Have you ever been saved? And he just looked at me like, I was speaking in a foreign language or something. But listen, folks, you know, all that we do, there's not any of that that's going to take us to heaven. I'm going to heaven one day because of what happened to me in the summer of 1973 as an 18-year-old boy when the Lord spoke peace to my soul. And that's all that I need, and that's all that is going to take me to heaven when this life is over. But I think, you know, many people ask the question, just as no doubt Nicodemus had those thoughts of, you know, why is this necessary? Now, I want to explain this again for just a moment, what it was that he was talking about. He was talking about being created in Christ Jesus. He was talking about being born of the Spirit of God. He was talking about having an experience that Paul explains in the 8th chapter of Romans in the 16th verse when he said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's being born again. That's having a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you can, and there have been many people that have and many people that are, you can be as religious as you want to be and not have a relationship with the Lord. You can go through all of the external practices of religious exercise and not know the Lord as your Savior. And so, obviously, here Jesus was speaking to a man that was exactly like that. But you know, I think that people, as I said, have confusion in their minds and they don't understand. You know, the Bible tells us in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, in the 25th verse, that we are to do what we are doing here this morning, that we are not to forsake this, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so, okay, then I will just, you know, I've not been going to church, so I'll just begin to go to church. You can read in the 20th chapter of Proverbs how that Solomon said, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so a person could read that and say, okay, well then I'll give up my strong drink. I'll give up my drinking. The Bible says in the third proverb, in verse 9 or so, I believe, that we are to honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all of our increase. And so someone could look at that and say, okay, God's word tells me then that I ought to give to the Lord of my wealth, of my increase. And, you know, listen, a person could do all of those things and they could go ahead and they could find someone to baptize them in water, and a person could go through all of those things and not know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And there's many people in the world that are doing that very thing. And I'll say this again. I mean, I've said this before. You've heard many old-time Baptist preachers say this before. If you don't have it when you go in the water, you're not going to get it because of the water. I heard that said again this morning. I watched an early morning program, and I heard a man on television. He told people that they had to have that. He told people that they had to be baptized in order to be saved. And I'll tell you what, he just lied to them. That was never the purpose of baptism. The only way it'll change is get you wet. It won't change your soul. Listen, if you're here today and you have not been born again, if you're here today and you've not experienced what Paul described there about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit, if you've not repented of your sins before a holy God and trusted in Jesus Christ and had an experience where the Holy Spirit of God let you know that you've been saved, then you've not been saved. And listen, all that you do in the flesh will not change the condition that you have inside. You know, every time that God saves a soul, He glorifies Himself. The Bible tells us that He forgives us for Christ's sake. The most important thing in all of it is that God is glorified. And God is glorified in the salvation of souls. Listen, I'll tell you what. There's nobody that could have ever had the wisdom to establish the things that God established. And when the Holy Spirit of God can move upon the heart of a sinner and convict that person of their sin by His love draw them to Him, when that person realizes that they're nothing in the sight of a holy God and they come to Him and they repent of their sins and they place their trust in Jesus and God reaches down like we sing, He touched me. God reaches down from heaven and touches that person and saves them and lets them know that they're saved. And when that type of experience is told and testified of, it honors God. God is the one that receives all of the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. If we justified ourselves by what we do, God wouldn't be glorified, would he? He wouldn't be glorified. It would be us boasting of what we did. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is not built on anything that I've done. My anticipation of a better world when this is over is not based upon anything that I've done. To the Lord be all the glory and all the honor forever and forever. Because he does it all. The Lord does the saving. Just like Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. And so, we can't do it. Now, Jesus really harshly, sharply rebuked the Pharisees for that type of thinking, for that type of living. If you look in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25, this is what the Lord said to them. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess." And this is what he told them was their only accomplishment in that. He said, "You indeed appear beautiful unto men." He said, "You are like whited sepulchres, that you indeed appear beautiful unto men, but within you are full of dead men's bones." And you could bury somebody in a grave, and you could keep the outside of that. You could have a beautiful stone there, and you could keep the outside of that clean, and you could have beautiful flowers around it and make it look beautiful to someone that walked up. But listen, what's inside of that won't be pretty at all. And that's the way the Lord spoke to the Pharisees. He said, you're like a whited sepulcher. And listen, people can do that by self-reform. They can make themselves look good to men. They can make themselves, people can make themselves appear righteous in the eyes of men, but within they don't have anything. And Jesus said, when the day of judgment comes, sinner, I hope you believe this today. You've only got one hope, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said when the day of judgment comes that there's going to be many of that belief, there's going to be many of that persuasion, there's going to be many that spent their life in self-deception, and they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Oh, the religionist. Those who only possess an outward showing. And the Lord's response to them would be, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Let me tell you something. If the Lord don't know you today as his child, then you're lost. You're lost. You're in your sins. The problem that the human race has is internal. It's the heart. It's the heart that's desperately wicked. And who can know it? Jeremiah asked the question, Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Can he? No. He said, if they could, then you could do good who are accustomed to doing evil. What did the third chapter of John tell us here? This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than the light. Let me tell you something. It's the very nature of sinners to love sin. That's why when the gospel comes to us, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, it doesn't make us jump up and down and shout, whoopee, does it? No, it condemns us. It condemns us because we know we're guilty before God. We are condemned in that. And we feel the need of getting rid of that. We feel the need of repenting of that. I'm going to tell you something today. If you're here and you're lost, make no mistake, in the eyes of God, you're not good. You're a sinner. The Bible tells us in the 14th Psalm that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, and he saw that there were none good, no, not one. Not one. Not one did he see that he believed was worthy of him. Not one did he see that was justified in his sight. They were all guilty before the Lord. All of them. You are as well. And you need a change. You need a change that can only be wrought by God. You need that born again experience. You need that that only God is able to do for you. You must be born again. All the self-reform in the world won't change the condition of your soul. You can try to clean up your life. You can stop doing this and stop doing that. You know, you can look and say, well, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2 and 4 that we're not to look on our own things, but on the things of others also. You can say, well, I'm going to start being better to my neighbor then, and I'm going to start doing more for other people. Listen, Titus chapter 3 and 5 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the things that we do on the outside are the result, ought to be the result of the change that has taken place of us within us on the inside. Because we don't have any good works until we know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And then we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we're going to have a song. And if you are here today and you've not been born again, you've not had that new birth experience, then you're still lost. You're still lost and without the Lord. And you need to come to the Lord, and you need to repent of your sins. You need to place all your trust in Jesus. And you need to seek him until he lets you know that you've been saved. And don't ever settle for anything short of that. While we stand and have a song.
Number 197.
Sinner, won't you come to the Lord and seek him today for the salvation of your soul.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
There's nothing else that can do it.
For
nobody
my
that can give you what you need but the Lord Jesus.
I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.